our equality in the image of God does not mean interchangeability. It's like an engine. In an engine, men, you might have the cylinder head and the crankcase made out of exactly the same material, same weight, same cost per inch, etc. But those parts are very different. You cannot interchange one with the other. They are similar, but they are very different. So equality in the image of God doesn't mean interchangeability.
That's a preview from the Teaching Today with Skip Heitzig, Gender Wars. What does that mean to you? We look into that today. But before we jump into the teaching, here's a letter we recently received from a Connection listener.
Dear Pastor Skip, I am writing to say as long as I can remember, I believed in Jesus Christ. I owe this to my mother. Before I moved to North Charleston, South Carolina, my wife and I were baptized together at our then home church. By listening to your teachings daily and worshiping with a fellow Christian at my workplace, he and I became reborn at heart. I've never heard God's word delivered in such an understandable manner as when you relay it. I can now say without a question or a doubt, I've completely fallen in love with Jesus Christ. Thank you. My wife and I refer to your teachings and the Bible to answer any questions or disagreements that come up in our new marriage. And we just wanted you to know the impact you've had on us and those around us, and to say thank you very much. Keep on spreading the word and the faith. Very many blessings to you and yours.
Thank you for sharing that letter. Stay tuned after the message because we have an exciting resource with a personal update from Skip about his recent trip to the Middle East. Now, turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 1 as Skip begins today's study with his wife, Lenya.
All right.
Good morning.
Now, sweetheart, this is the male brain.
Is it now?
With a hat on it.
Is it made of styrofoam?
Be careful. I want to tell you about how men think, the male brain, okay?
Right.
Men's brains, you see, they're filled with files.
Files?
Does that make sense, files?
As in a file cabinet?
Yeah. We have a file for everything. We have one file for the car, one file for the kids, one file for you, one file for somewhere in the basement, your parents. We have a file for sports, for everything.
Wow.
Now, the most important rule of the male brain is that we open one file at a time.
I can't have...
No. One file at a time. Once we're done with one file, we put the file back to its proper place, and we're careful not to touch any other file. One file cannot touch another file.
Kind of like food on a plate.
Second most important rule, no multiple files.
No multiple files.
Right. That causes confusion.
I bet it does.
I don't know what to do. They're all open. More than one is open. What do we do?
Like on the telephone and asking
questions. But here's the secret, and women don't know this secret.
Okay.
There's a file in the male brain that women really don't know anything about.
Women, don't you want to know?
Okay. It's marked, ready? Nothing. It's a nothing file.
You have a nothing file.
We have a nothing file. It's our favorite file.
Favorite file.
It's our favorite file. Of all the files in our lives, nothing file is a favorite file.
Why is that?
There's nothing in it. Now, we can go to that file and keep going back to that file endlessly. That explains why we can channel surf, go from one channel to the next to the
and
next.
And I say to you, honey, what are you watching?
And I say nothing. Or I'm just sort of sitting around and you say...
Honey, what are you thinking?
And I say nothing.
Which seems humanly impossible.
But it's actually true. And the other thing is that women are envious of this file because they don't have a nothing category.
That's true.
They never think about just nothing.
Always something.
Always something.
Well, sweetheart.
Yes.
This is the female brain.
With red hair.
Doesn't matter what color hair, the brain functions the same. And ours are filled with fibers, like fiber optic wires that are in a menagerie of colors, complicated patterns, and they're intricately connected.
Sort of like the red hair on this thing.
You cannot touch one fiber optic wire without engaging them all. You talk about money, we go to mommy and to manners and the menu, and before you know it, it's like the 4th of July. It's all lit up.
So you can't deal with just one file.
No. They engage. And do you know what energizes? You know what gets these files, the juice flowing?
I want to know.
Emotions. the more emotions, the more those flies. And you know what emotions do to these fibers?
Fry them?
Once there's an well, a little bit like that. Once an emotion engages a certain fiber, it is locked into our memory bank and can never be deleted.
Oh, my. Well, how do we fix that?
You cannot fix it. That's the problem. Because men keep trying to fix our wires. We don't want you to fix our wires. We want you to listen to us. So, like, you go to cut the blue wire, and you know what happens if you try and fix us? System failure. And the only thing you can do, reboot and hear the whole thing all over again. So anyway, do not try and repair. And not only that, we want you to hear us and know our emotions. We have a compelling need to say, let's talk. I want to talk. Can we please talk? And what file are you in?
Nothing.
So our worst fear is that our emotions might get put into your nothing file.
Not going to happen. Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we give you our bodies, as Paul wrote, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, which is the smartest thing we could do. It's the most reasonable way to serve you. And we pray that as we give you our bodies and engage with our mind, that, Lord, our spirit would grow, that we would understand your plan and understand behind it all your great love for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, men and women are different from one another. I wonder if you agree with that statement. We're different from one another. Okay. Doesn't take a lot of brain power to figure that out. There's a book out called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. That's how it's described, the differences between male and female. Or as one person put it, men are like dogs, women are like cats. Or as another person put it in terms of the hi-fi system, men are the woofers, the big bass speakers, and women are those higher-pitched tweeters. The sounds are nice and clear and distinct. Another person said, well, men, in terms of clothing, are flannel, while women are floral. When you get differences that are that apparent, and you put those differences together, it makes for an interesting marriage relationship, because no one is perfect. As we mentioned last week, a happy marriage is the union of two forgivers. No one's perfect. But I have a riddle I'd like you to figure out. There was a perfect man who met a perfect woman, and after a perfect courtship, they had a perfect wedding. Their life together was, of course, perfect. Somebody said boring. One snowy, stormy Christmas Eve, this perfect couple was driving along a winding road and noticed someone at the roadside in distress. Being the perfect couple, which I don't think is the couple that mentioned boring, they stopped to help. There stood Santa Claus with a huge bundle of toys. Not wanting to disappoint any children on the eve of Christmas, the perfect couple loaded Santa and his toys into the vehicle. Soon they were driving along delivering the toys. Unfortunately, the driving conditions deteriorated, and the perfect couple and Santa Claus had an accident. One of them survived the accident. Who was the survivor? The answer? The perfect woman. She was the only one that really existed in the first place. You notice I'm biting my lip? Everyone knows there's no Santa Claus, and there's no such thing as a perfect man. Now the male response to that. So, if there's no perfect man and there's no Santa Claus, then the perfect woman must have been driving. This explains why there was a car accident. Hey, would you agree that there's both an attraction between men and women, as well as a tension between men and women because of the differences that we have. I've listened to, for years, the male species and the female species sort of point at each other and go, I don't get you. I don't understand you. You are so weird. Trying to figure each other out, trying to understand and get in each other's brains, hearts, spirits. You may have heard the story about the man to whom God appeared, spoke, and granted him one wish. And the man said, Lord, what I really would like is a bridge from the mainland all the way to Hawaii so I could drive there whenever I felt like it. And God responded and he said, well, that's a very selfish and materialistic request. Do you realize the amount of concrete and metal it would take to provide a structure for that kind of superhighway from the mainland to Hawaii? Do you have another request? So the man said, well, yes, Lord, I do. I really want to understand women. I want to know how she feels. I want to know what she thinks when she gives me the silent treatment. I want to know why she cries and says nothing's wrong. I really want to know how to make a woman happy. After a long pause, the Lord spoke and said, now back to that bridge. Would you like two lanes or four lanes? You know, all joking aside, even the Bible talks about the intricacies of relational differences. The writer of Proverbs, Solomon, said of the three things he didn't understand, yea, four he wanted an answer for, he writes this, how an eagle glides through the sky, how a snake slithers on the rock, how a ship navigates the ocean, and how a man loves a woman. Now, science can provide answers to the first three, but many men are still trying to figure out number four. And get this, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. The Bible says God gave him great wisdom above all those who lived on the earth. And he's over there going, I can't figure this out. This is so difficult. And if Solomon couldn't figure it out, well, where does that leave us? Oh, by the way, Solomon was the guy who had 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. I don't know how wise he really was. Can you imagine trying to keep track of 1,000 birthdays? That'd be like totally impossible. But here's the truth. Men are not from Mars. Women are not from Venus. Both man and women are from God. And really what happened is sin, as we discovered last week, entered into the human experience and contaminated and complicated every relationship since. And since then, we have gender wars, and that is the topic of today, gender wars. That's why I've had you turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 3. Now, we're going to work our way to chapter 3. We're going to begin with some verses we have talked about or even read in Genesis 1 and 2, and then we're going to find ourselves in chapter 3. We want to know what happened. We want to not only know what happened, we want to know what now. What do we do about it? What does it mean to us? So as we look at these three chapters, verses out of each one, and we think about gender wars, I want you and I to examine it from the standpoint of a design. You have an architect or a designer who had an intention in his mind when he designed men, women, marriage. It was a great design. But God's design was marred. Something happened to the design. So I want to talk about with you the magnificent design in chapter 1, that God designed a man and a woman to rule together. The matched design in Genesis chapter 2, that God designed a man and a woman to have separate roles to complement each other. But then third, the marred design, how what happened and continues to happen is men and women want to rule over each other. Back to Genesis, the first chapter, in verse 26, we discover his intention from the beginning, God's magnificent design. Verse 26, Genesis 1, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God gave him authority over every creep and every creature. So God created man in his own image. Now notice, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Please notice, first of all, in God's original magnificent design, that he designed men and women in his image. Not just the male. Well, I am made in God's image. I am the man. No, the male and the female, both of them were created in God's image. What does that mean, image, the image of God? Well, theologians will answer that by saying, to be in the image of God means that we are capable of expressing God's communicable attributes, attributes like intellect, emotion, will, choice. All of those are part of his communicable attributes. We share something with the Creator that other creatures do not share. To press it perhaps a little bit further, like the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are a tripartite being. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit created in God's image. Okay, now, being equal, our equality in the image of God does not mean interchangeability. It's like an engine. In an engine, men, you might have the cylinder head and the crankcase made out of exactly the same material, same weight, same cost per inch, etc. But those parts are very different. You cannot interchange one with the other. They are similar, but they are very different. So equality in the image of God doesn't mean interchangeability. You have a man, you have a woman, both of them, though unique, are in the image of God. That's first. Second, you will notice that God designed the man and the woman to rule his creation together. Did you notice the wording? He said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. Notice the word dominion. That expresses our relationship to the rest of creation. We are to represent God being over all of the rest of creation. We are not the same as a horse or a cow or a dog. We are a superior kind in the image of God, designed to rule over his creation. But here's the point I want to make. The male and the female were to rule together. That's the magnificent design. We were to be co-regents, co-ambassadors, co-rulers, representatives of God together, ruling over creation. If I were to distill these thoughts into two principles, I would say then that marriage should, number one, mirror God's image, and marriage should, number two, manage God's realm. That was his intention. That's the magnificent design, ruling together. If we turn to chapter 2, we understand that this couple was a perfect match. You might say a match made in heaven. God brought the woman to the man. It's a match design with unique roles that are blended together. Chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Neshama chai is the Hebrew word or words, the breath of life. And the man became a living being. If you scoot down to verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. We already covered that. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So God did that. And God brought her to him. And down in verse 23 of chapter 2, we read, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So follow the chronology. God creates a man, a male, places him in the garden. He has the job of being the chief gardener, the animal namer, to tend God's creation. But one day God looks out and goes, not good, not good is that man alone. I'm going to make him a helper. Somebody who will help him, complete him. In God's words, a helper that is comparable to him, or a better term, suitable for him. Somebody that suits him perfectly. Somebody that is comparable just for him. Now, the word comparable or suitable is literally, as we told you a couple weeks ago, somebody who is like opposite him. Like opposite. It sounds like an oxymoron, I know. Someone who is like opposite. And the word, as we mentioned, suggests something that completes a polarity. Just like you have a North Pole, you need a South Pole. Just like our planet has a North Pole and a South Pole, and both of them, though different, complement each other and are there for the rotation and existence of our planet. That's the idea. That's the role. Two poles. They may be opposite, but they complement one another. Now let's get back to this whole difference thing for just a moment. Men and women are similar, but different on a number of levels. We're of the same species, so we're similar. We're on different wavelengths. We are polar opposites in many respects. Somebody once said, the average man has four items in his bathroom. Toothbrush, bar of soap, razor, and a towel from Motel 6. A woman has an average of 328 items in her bathroom, and the average man is unable to identify most of them. Big differences. Lenny and I are opposite in so many regards. I like things cool. I am warm, so I want the windows open. She wants a blanket over herself. She's cold. Our thermostats are different. I get in a car, I want the air conditioning turned up. She wants it turned down. I want the radio turned up. She wants it turned off or really low so we can talk. You know, we were kind of bantering back and forth at the beginning about the difference between the male brain and the female brain. There's a book out on brain physiology, provocatively titled Brain Sex, The Difference, The Real Difference Between Men and Women, written by a man and a woman, Ann Moyer and David Jessel. The book gives empirical evidence, scientific evidence, for the difference between the sexes, male and female. In the introduction of the book, it reads, quote, men are different from women. They are equal only in their common membership in the same species, humankind. But to maintain that they are the same in aptitude, skill, or behavior is to build a society on a biological and a scientific lie. And the book gives chapter after chapter of scientific empirical evidence to that regard. The book goes on to say that men and women are different because their brains are different. Now, I said different. I didn't say better or superior or inferior, but we're different.
That's Rich. Our roles as men and women don't compete against each other, but rather they should complete each other. That's Skip Heitzig on The Connection. More on marriage tomorrow. Now, here's how you can get a personal update from Skip.
Christians are dying for their faith in countries that are hostile to the gospel. Those of us still living in free nations need to be fully informed. Author Tom Doyle's book, Killing Christians, is part of the Connection Resource Package this month only. Killing Christians takes readers to the secret meetings, the torture rooms, the grim prisons, and even the executions of Muslims who have turned to Christ in Syria, Iran, Lebanon, and Egypt. The stories are breathtaking, the lessons, soul-stirring, and inspiring. You'll receive the book Killing Christians, along with a personal update from Skip Heitzig about his recent trip to Iraq, Lebanon, and Jordan.
Caught in the crossfire of their radical agenda are innocent lives, women, children, families displaced. We're talking millions of people. It's heart-wrenching, and you can only see so much of that before you think, we need to do something in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what we were doing.
Skip will take you into meetings with believers who risk their lives for the faith, and will let you meet the children in Iraqi refugee camps that are just over a hill from enemy forces. Receive Skip's private briefing, only available here, along with Tom Doyle's book, Killing Christians. And as a special bonus, a full-length message about the resurrection from Skip. You will also receive an update from Dr. Stephen Collins about his controversial project in Jordan to discover the real site for Sodom. All this for a suggested donation of $30. Call toll-free 1-800-922-1888 or order at connectiononline.org.
Pick up your phone and call now, 1-800-922-1888. Here's a slice of what's coming up tomorrow on The Connection with Skip Heitzig.
So we are different by design. And as different as we are by design, here's the point. When these two individuals get together in the covenant of marriage as outlined and blueprinted by God, the marriage is designed to minimize the differences that are between them and to maximize each other's lives.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.